सहनावतु
अतो
सहनौ
सहनौ
भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं
सहवीर्यं करवावहै
करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। सदाशिवसमारम्भां शङ्कराचार्यमाध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्तां वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम्। श्रुतिस्मृतिपुराणानाम् आलयं करुणालयं नमामि भगवत्पाद शङ्करं लोकशङ्करं शङ्करं शङ्कराचार्यं केशवं बादरायणम्। सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वन्दे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः श्रीचिन्मययतीशस्य गुरुं वन्दे तपोवनं। तं हिमवद्विभूतिं वै ज्ञानवैराग्यरूपिणं समस्तजनकल्याणे निरतं करुणामयम्। नमामि चिन्मयं देवं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरम्। ॐ भद्रं कर्णेभिः शृणुयाम देवाः भद्रं पश्येमाक्षभिर्यजत्राः। स्थिरैरङ्गैस्तुष्टुवागंसस्तनूभिः व्यशेम देवहितं यदायुः। स्वस्ति न इन्द्रो वृद्धश्रवाः स्वस्ति नः पूषा विश्ववेदाः। स्वस्ति नस्तार्क्ष्यो अरिष्टनेमिः स्वस्ति नो बृहस्पतिर्दधातु। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। हरि ओम्। माय हम्बल प्रणाम्स टू ऑल। सो टुडे वील बी डूइंग चैप्टर 3 सेक्शन 1 मंत्रा 6 to 8। So if you can open that, if you wish me to call upon you, please keep your camera on. If your camera is off, then I'll assume you do not want to chant with me. So do that. So last week we had seen that the person who is seeking this truth, the highest knowledge, what is this knowledge? It is that beyond all body, mind, intellect. We will cover that in more in detail. And what happens to him? What is the benefit of this knowledge? He or she reaches the supreme state beyond all sins and merits. All papa punya, he goes beyond and he reaches that supreme state of peace, equipoise, where he becomes equanimous. And then this such a person does not talk much. He remains silent and talks only what is necessary. And then where does he find the Lord? He's always enjoying the Lord's presence. When he looks within, he finds Bhagwan within. And when this person looks out, sees Bhagwan in all. So that is, so this person is always enjoying the Lord's presence. And then we had seen what are the sadhanas to purify the mind. One is truth, then tapas, austerity, right knowledge, moderation, self-control, and putting sincere effort. And that will purify the mind and make it available. So today we'll do, as I said, chapter 3, section 1, mantra number 6 of Mundak Upanishad. Hansaben, you have it with you. You can unmute. सत्यमेव जयते नानृतम्
सत्यमेव जयति नानृतम्।
सत्येन पन्था विततो देवयानः,
सत्येन पन्था विततो देवयानः।
येनाक्रमन्त्यऋषयो ह्याप्तकामाः।
येन क्रमन्त्युष्यो ह्यात्तकामाः।
यत्र तत्सत्यस्य परमं निधानम्।
यत्र तस्य परमनिधानम्।
You can mute, we'll all change. सत्यमेव जयते नानृतम्, सत्येन पन्था विततो देवयानः, येनाक्रमन्त्यऋषयो ह्याप्तकामाः, यत्र तत्सत्यस्य परमं निधानम्। So last week, the teacher had told us that among all the sadhanas, all the methods to achieve the truth, Satyam he had placed as number one. You know, in the last mantra, Satyena Labhaya Tapasa Esha Atma. So among all the sadhanas, all the techniques, Satyam was listed as number one. Again, he emphasizes Satya one more time to emphasize to us how important is this path of truth, to always be truthful. And we had seen that truth is that which is, you know, we have studied in detail last week with the, you know, same between what I think, what I speak, and what I do. And here it is said, Satyameva jayate na anritam. Truth alone wins, not untruth. Satyameva jayate. In fact, this is used also in our currency in India. It is there on the currency and also in the Ashok Chakra, in the emblem. Satyameva jayate. That comes from the Upanishads. So our masters, our founders who had made our constitution, had knowledge of the Upanishad. That's why they adopted this as our national motto or symbol. So truth alone prevails, not untruth. Santyena patha pantha vitato devayanaha. By truth, the path is spread out, and the path is towards deva, devayanaha, to the higher goal. Vitato means spread out. So pantha means it. The truth is the path and is also the goal, because that's why they say na satyam jnanam anantam brahma. So Brahman is the goal and satyam is the path. And na yena, by this truth, akramanti rishaya. Rishaya means the rishis. We'll see what exactly is rishi. Akramanti, they rise higher to this higher stage of evolution. And who are those? They are Aptakamaha, all their desires have been finished, fulfilled. That means they no longer are slaves of their desires. And then yatra tatya, and where they go, satyasya paramam nidhanam, where is the supreme abode of truth, that's where they go. So as we said, satyam alone wins. Now, one thing is, we have to understand that all these teachings are only useful if we practice them. Teachings are otherwise no useful. It's like you buy paintbrush and paint, and you have the canvas, but you never get around to painting or doing any artistry, then it's a waste of your time. So also, this knowledge, only listening is not enough. One has to, and for that you need a living entity, because this knowledge in the book can only become living if we practice it. In Chandogya Upanishad, there is a beautiful episode where they say that they used to heat a axe, iron axe, iron, red hot iron axe, red hot, and then they make you hold it. If you are telling the truth, you won't get burnt. And if you are not telling the truth, you will get burnt. So that's mentioned. I just wanted to mention that that was one of the tests of truthfulness. And this path is Devayana. It is takes you to the higher, and it is a highway. Vitato Devayana. It is like a highway. Once you are on this path, your progress is very quick, there is no obstruction, and it takes you straight to Brahma Loka. It will not take you to enlightenment, but it will take you towards Brahma Loka, that is Devayana, as opposed to Pitruyana, where that is the path where the Pitrus are and where Swarga is, Indra's Swarga Loka. So there, when you go to Swarga Loka or Pitru Loka, you will come back. Your journey will continue. But if you go to Devayana, the path towards Brahma Loka, then there is no return from there. There, then Brahmaji will teach you. So truth is the, among all the techniques, truth is the number one that will take you to the higher. Now, Akramanti, who rises? Rishis. So what is the word Rishi mean? Rishi, we think of a person wearing orange clothes, long beard, sitting in the forest. But the correct meaning of Rishi is mantra seers who actually saw the mantra in their meditation. They heard this mantra. That's why it's called Shruti. Also, they clearly saw it. They clearly understood it. And then they were able to pass it on to their disciple. Rishi also means Rishati Janati Gachati iti Rishi. So one who understands, who knows it clearly, and then who follows the path of truth, that is Rishi. So one such a Rishi whose desires are reduced will reach this goal. Before we go to desires, I just wanted to talk a little bit more about truth. Bhagwan Sri Krishna also tells in the Bhagavad Gita that speech should be priyam, hitam, priyam, and mitam. So same way, truth should be, first of all, hitam, should be beneficial, should be priyam, means should be spoken with love and create good feeling. And one should talk less. That is the in tapas of speech. That is what Bhagwan mentioned. So what do you mean by that? So like they say, it should be beneficial. Hitam means like somebody has bought a new outfit and spent a lot of money, and then she asks you, how do you like it? Now you look at it and you hate it because that's not something that you will ever wear. But you cannot tell that person, oh, it is useless, I hate it. So you have to say something which is hitam. Somehow you kind of, I think women, all of you know how to say that, so that the person doesn't feel bad. And at the same time, you express it. You say, oh, if you like it or whatever. So it should be hitam. It should be beneficial to that person. Also, it means like, suppose the example they gave is like you are sitting somewhere and this woman comes running and she says, oh, there is this man chasing me, he's after me. And she goes, hides behind some bushes, and then the man comes with a knife. I want to catch that woman. Where is she? Now you know where she is, but if you tell the truth, oh, I know where she's hiding, then that is not hitam. So satyam should be accompanied by hitam. And it should be priyam. It should not hurt the other person's feelings. So, and that is, and then secondly, they say speech should be mitam, should speak measured. Don't talk too much. Hanumanji was the best in that. All his speech was very, very minimal. He spoke, but he spoke a lot of wisdom. And then he says, apta kama. So desires, where do desires arise? They arise from ignorance. They say avidya, kama, karma. Avidya, ignorance, creates desires and then creates wrong actions. And then that creates more vasanas and strengthens your ignorance. So there is a vicious cycle. So the more you have desires for things, the more you get caught, the more you get further and further caught. Talking about desires, this man was walking on the beach and found an old lamp, which he rubbed, and always the genie always comes out when you're walking and you rub an old lamp. I have rubbed many times. I have never seen one, but in the stories, there is always. So this genie comes out and says, "You can have one wish, not three. You can have one wish." On Sunday, the guy gave three wishes, I think, those of you who were in the Sunday class. So this guy says, "You can only have one wish." So he says, "You know what? I have a trouble, becoming attractive to women, So I want to be become, I want that every woman should desire me. I desire that all women should desire me. They should want me. They should always want to keep me close to them, never separate from me, and take good care of me. That's what I desire, So the genie thinks for a moment and makes him into a credit card. Woman always wants desire. So having the right kind of desires is very important. And when you reduce your desires, then your mind becomes very tranquil, at peace. Otherwise, if you have desire, I want this, I want that, why don't I have it? Why don't I get it? Why don't? So then your mind is always disturbed, always agitated, always asking more of this, more of that, this and that. And what is the sadhana? We already talked about sadhana in the previous mantra, all the techniques to do, but we have to put effort. That's what is very important, that we have to put our effort and then God helps us. Even in the ninth chapter, which we discussed last night in the Gita chanting, Ananyas Chintayanto Mam, Ye Janah Paryupasate, Tesham Nityabhiyukta Nam, Yoga Kshemam Vahamyam. He says, those who love me unconditionally, with loving no other, me, I am the number one only. And Paryupasate, and they worship. Worship does not only mean praying in the temple, that's good, but worship means doing all actions for God, keeping me with you at all times, and Nitya Abhiyuktanam. So those who are self-controlled. So you desire God and nothing else. You put in all the effort and you live a life of self-control. Then I take care of their yoga and kshema. I give them what they need and help them to protect it. So that's what they say. We put the effort, and then Bhagwan helps us to reach that abode of Paramam Nidhanam, the supreme abode, the absolute abode, which 15th chapter he says, Yad Gatvana Nivartante Tad Dham Paramam Mama. So that is my supreme abode. Going back, there is no return. So a person who is enlightened, person who is, once he has woken up to that truth, then this person never goes back to ignorance. Pallavi, you have the next one. Number 7, chapter 3, section 1, number 7. Brihachatad Divyam Achintya
Brihachatadvim Machintya
सूक्ष्मचतत्सूक्ष्मतरं
सूक्ष्मतरं विभाति
दूरात् सुदूरे तदिहान्तिके च
दूरात् सुदूरे तदिहान्तिके च
पश्यत्स्विहैव निहितं गुहायाम्
पश्यत्सि वै निहितं गुहायाम्
Together, you can mute. Brihachatadivyamachintyarupam sukshmachatatsukshmataram vibhati duratsudure tadihantikecha pashyatsvihaiva nihitam guhayam. So brihat is means big. So the word Brahman means big. So brihat means big. That means bigger than the biggest. It is the large. It is because space extends for trillions of miles, and that and the 14 worlds. What we know is only this one world of trillions of miles, billions of galaxies. There are 13 such worlds which are even more widespread, but they all constitute a very small part of Brahman. That's how it's just unfathomable how you can. In fact, I was just reading today that there was this huge star that got swallowed by this black hole. You know, there are these black holes, and it swallowed the star and ate it up and completely destroyed it. Huge star, much, much bigger than our sun, billions of times bigger. And they said the light was like a trillion suns. How when trillion suns shine, how much light, that much light was created by this black hole, which just destroyed this huge star just in seconds. So imagine the vastness of this and the power of that Bhagwan. So it is unbelievable. But he is bigger than the biggest. And Divyam. Divyam means he is luminous. Luminous does not mean light, but we'll talk about what it means by luminous. And Achintya Rupam, and cannot be thought of by the mind and intellect. And Sukshmat Cha Tat Sukshmataram Vibhati, and it shines and it is subtler than the subtlest. Subtler than the subtlest. Durat Sudure, it is further than the furthest. Tat iha antikecha, and it is in me. So it is closer than the closest and further than the furthest. How can it be both? Either it's far or it is near, it is both. Pashyatsu, and those who see, where do they see it? Iha aiva, here itself, nihitam guhayam, in the cave of their heart. So these are again the qualities of Brahman. They have been covered before. So qualities, indicators, pointers, even though Brahman has no qualities, but the Rishi is trying his best to make us understand, point which way, how Brahman is, so that we may also know it. And this same idea is given in different Upanishads. So Brihat, we already talked about, it's bigger than the biggest. And it is luminous. Luminous does not mean there is a light. What it means is it is the consciousness which illumines all lights. The sun, the moon, the stars are all illumined by that, and the lamp and the fire, and all of us, our eyes, ears, skin, tongue, taste, all of our senses. So everything that is alive, you know, plants, animals, birds, fish, humans. The consciousness is the one that gives us life, gives us awareness, gives us this consciousness. So here, when they say Divyam, it is the consciousness that is everywhere, that is all pervading. And Achintya Rupam, it is cannot be thought of, and we have covered that many times. There's a previous mantra also, Agrahyam. In Apanipadam, you know, which is, you know, cannot be seen by the eyes, by the senses, cannot be heard, cannot be tasted, touched, cannot be thought of by the intellect, cannot be felt by the emotions. So, in every way, it cannot be experienced. So we'll talk about what should we do when something is cannot be experienced. So, and the same idea is mentioned in the Ishavasya Upanishad, tad dure tad antikecha. It is further than the furthest and nearer than the nearest. What it means is that, like space, you know, space is further than the furthest. For us, we cannot even contemplate how far space is, how many billions, trillions of miles, but it is in every cell, the space is there, right? The cell is consisting mainly of space and energy. There is very little solid matter, even though we think we are solid, this table is solid, but it is all space and energy. So, same way, this is even subtler than space, even further extends further than space. And it is within us, the subtler than the subtlest, even subtler than space, even the smallest cell is illumined by this consciousness. And then when they say subtle, what it means is pervasive. It spreads out like there is a piece of ice. you put it outside on the counter, it melts and becomes water. So water is subtler than solid ice, and then water evaporates and becomes steam that is subtler. So first solid ice, then water spreads out, and then steam spreads even further. So what is subtler is more pervasive. So this consciousness is said to be all pervasive. That means everywhere it is, there is no place where it is not. In fact, that alone is real. That alone exists. That alone, Brahmaiva Satyam, Jagan Mithya. They say Brahman is truth, and this world is a illusory superimposition upon Brahman. And it is further than the furthest, closer than the closest. And where is it seen? It is seen in the Guhayam, in the heart, in the cave of the heart. Heart means it's in the middle of the chest, not the pumping heart, but they indicate it as the middle of the chest, even though it is everywhere. And that is, Gurudev says, that is where in the mind and intellect all the good qualities reside. Love, compassion, kindness, that's where Bhagwan lives. Even though Bhagwan is everywhere, but if you want to find him, that's why people meditate upon that self. So somebody says, okay, now you told me Brahman is here. I found it. Now, why should I bother to search for Brahman? Why should I do any sadhanas? I can just stop seeking. Mil gaya, idhar hai, that's it. No, this is what we have been told. It is here, is the experience of the Rishi or of Puja Gurudev, Swami Chinmayananda. It is not yet our experience. We have just heard it from them. We have read it in the Upanishad. And as long as you, they say for the ignorant person, God is very far. For the ignorant person, God is far away. For the wise person, God is right here. I don't need to go anywhere to find. But we have to continue our sadhanas. We don't have to say, oh, I don't need to seek anymore. Why should I go to lectures? Why should I meditate, read, do karma yoga? The sadhanas are so that I may experience myself what the rishis are describing. I may myself abide in that knowledge. So for a seeker who is on the right path, they say ab Delhi dur nahi. There's a phrase in Hindi that Delhi is not too far for a person who is on the path. And a person who is not on the path, doesn't have the right knowledge, Delhi bahut dur hai uske liye. Delhi is very far. Now, what does that means? The goal is far. So having attained, what does Brahman do? I'll just talk a little bit. I was reading somewhere that in Kerala, they have, when people carry heavy load on their head, they are going to the market to sell produce or something of their farmer has grown or some. And so the laborer is carrying a very heavy weight. It's hot sun, in the summer it's so hot. He's sweating, he gets exhausted. So on the road, the government has made what they call as attani. Am I right, Ambika? That's what they call attani. They are those parapets made out of concrete, and they are on the side of the road. And so when the and they are about the height of an average man. So when this person gets tired, he goes close to it, shifts it on that cement parapet, leaves it for a while, and then rests there under the shade. He will sit, and then once he's ready, again he gets up, shifts it from there back onto his head, and he continues in his journey. So there is a famous poet called Menon. V.N. Menon, who has written a beautiful song where God says that, why are you suffering? I am here to carry your load, to carry your burden. So Atani is like that, where you, when you are tired, you put your burden there, and then when you're ready, you go on. So God is like the Atani who is ready to take our load when we get exhausted, and then when we are ready to work. So God is the load that is the support that always is there beside us. All we have to do is turn to God in surrender, and all our sorrows will be removed. So very, very beautiful example about how this what does Bhagwan do for us? You know, what where is Bhagwan and what does he do for us? Shaku, you have this one? Next one, number 8. Na chakshusha grihyate na pivacha.
Na chakshusha guhate na pivacha.
Nanyar devais tapasa karmana va.
Nana devyas tapasta karmana va.
Jnana prasadena vishuddha sattvah.
Jnana prasade vishuddhastatarva.
Tatastu tam pasyate nishkalam dhyayamanah.
Davastatate tatamam pasyate nikshakam dhyanam.
Yeah, the last line is does not follow the meter. It has is a little long, but we'll all chant together. You can please mute. Na chakshusha grihyate na pivacha. Nanyair devai tapasa karmana va jnana prasadena vishuddha sattvah tatastu tam pasyate nishkalam dhyayamanah. So na chakshusha grihyate, so eyes cannot see it. This we have covered also before, but the rishi wants to emphasize how to reach it. Very beautiful, very practical mantra, this one. First, he says how we cannot reach in the first two lines. And then in the third and fourth line, how to reach. So everything is given in this mantra. So, na chakshusha grihyate. So, eyes cannot see it. Na api vacha. And not by speech. So, speech cannot describe it. Even though the Upanishad is trying to describe it, we are trying to talk about it. But they say speech cannot describe it. Nan yaha devaihi. Devaihi means by the gods. So it does not mean the gods cannot reach it, but devas are also the sense organs. The eyes, the ears, the nose, skin, tongue. They are all called devas because they illumine the senses outside. With the eyes, the sight, with the ears, the sound, with the nose, the smell, tongue, the taste, skin, the touch. So I see, hear, smell, taste, and touch because of these devas, these sense organs. So none of the sense organs can know it. Tapasa, even by austerities, you cannot know it, even by tapas. And karmana, even by karmas, rituals, you cannot reach it. They say, yeah, but the Vedas, first two sections talk about karma, rituals, tapas. So why is, again, in the last portion, why is the Rishi telling us that it cannot reach? We'll talk about that. And then it says, jnana prasadena, by the clear understanding. And prasada means the benefit of this clear understanding. Just as when we go to the temple and we take some sweets and then the pujari does the puja and gives it back, it becomes prasad because it is blessed by Bhagwan. So here it is prasad is not God's prasad, it's God working through the intellect. So when you have the clear knowledge, what the result of that knowledge is called jnana prasada. And Vishuddha Sattva, and this person is in Sattva, and his mind is pure. Shuddha means pure. Vishuddha means Visheshena Shuddha, extremely pure his mind is, his or her mind. Tataha tu there tam pasyate. So this person sees tam. Tam here means Bhagwan, Brahman, the consciousness, which is neither male nor female. That's why they have used neuter. Tam, you know, because tam, because Bhagwan is neither male nor female, nor it is neuter, it is not beyond gender. Tam pasyate and nishkalam, and it is the absolute truth. And there, dhyayamanaha. So a person in their meditation experiences the presence of Brahman. How? When he has the clear knowledge and purity of mind. So this na chakshusha grahyate napi vacha is said in so many Upanishads. In Taittiriya Upanishad, it says, yato vacho nivartante apraapya manasa saha. Speech cannot reaches there, tries to reach and comes back. Mind tries to know it and comes back. And then in Kain Upanishad, na chakshu gachati, na vak, no manaha. Eyes cannot go there, speech cannot go there, mind cannot go there. And in this Upanishad, same thing. Eyes cannot know it, speech cannot describe it. So what it means is all Vedas talk about it. Because the first one, Yato Vacho Nivartante, comes from Yajurveda, which is the Taittiriya Upanishad. In Kain Upanishad, Na Chakshu Gachati, it comes from Sama Veda. And then this Mundak Upanishad comes from Atharva Veda. So all Vedas tell us the same thing, that mind, idea, senses cannot know it.
Why?
So then he said, then why? Then what can I do? You cannot, you say you cannot see it, you cannot think it, you cannot speak it, you cannot describe it. So you have to understand that it is me. It is not something. See, intellect can only see objects. Intellect can see some object, see a house or a car or anything outside, or intellect can discriminate, like right and wrong, good and bad. So intellect divides, but intellect cannot see the subject. So it is the subject, it is the knower, because of which the intellect functions, the mind functions, the speech functions. I'm able to talk because of that. I'm able to see, hear. So it is me that I have to understand. Gurudev says that Brahman is like a circle whose center is everywhere and whose circumference is nowhere. So what he means by circle is everywhere means wherever I am, God is there, right? So Brahman is everywhere. I am here, so Brahman is here, and everything around me is that. But circumference is nowhere means you nowhere can say, okay, there where it ends. Like a circle ends in the circumference, but there is no place where you can say Bhagwan ends, neither in place nor in time. So that is this Brahman. So, and we have to seek it. We already talked about in the previous mantras, it gives us peace, tranquility. It is the highest purpose of life. Now, what are the sadhanas? So four sadhanas are given. Those who are writing down, this is a very good point to write down. There are four type of sadhanas. One is called paramparagat sadhana, which means the traditional sadhana. And what is that? Karma yoga, upasana, pranayama, all those, yogic exercises. So that is the traditional way, karma yoga, upasana. Then second is bahirang sadhana. What is bahirang sadhana? Sadhan chatushtaya. Everybody knows vivek, vairagya, shat sampatti, mumukshutvam. So when you have done this karma yoga upasana, then it will be easier for you to develop sadhan chatushtaya, get the knowledge and understand it. Then from there, it leads you to antarang sadhana. So paramparagrat, bahiranga, antargat. Antarang sadhana is shravana, manana, nididhyasana. And out of them, Shravana is the only important one. Once you have heard correctly, then only Manana and Nididhyasana will be there,
Will be more fruitful.
will be fruitful. And in fact, they say that alone is enough if you have heard it properly. Again, it does not mean that one should not think or contemplate or abide, but that happens easily if you have heard correctly. So that is, so first is Paramparagat, then Bahirang, Antarang, and fourth and most important is Sakshat Sadhana, which is Mahavakya Updesh, abiding in that knowledge, I am Brahman. So it is a stepwise, that where you understand it as your own knowledge, which they call Aparoksha Anubhuti. So start with Karma Yoga Upasana, Then develop sadhan chatushtaya. Alongside, you do shravana, manana, nidhi, dhyasana. And then finally, meditate and abide in that knowledge. So it is sequential. That is how the very beautifully these four sadhanas give us a stepwise. And then we can see where I am on this path. How far have I progressed? And what is jnana prasada? As we talked about, once you have this knowledge, then that knowledge itself blesses you. See, having gone to a rishi or to a student, Mahatma or to a guru, you are blessed by that knowledge itself. So that's why they say Bhagwan is Satyam, Jnanam, Anantam, Brahma. So Satyam is the first. So this correct knowledge, you are blessed with that. And what is Vishuddha Sattva? Vishuddha Sattva is calm and refined mind and pure mind without impurities. What are impurities? Impurities are attachments. When I get attached to something, then I do wrong things. I get, I become dependent. I want more and more. I become angry. So all of them come from attachment. I want something and I don't get it, so I get angry. If I get it, I get more greedy. And then I want to take others, what others have, I want to take. So all the impurities come from attachment. That's why they say put the oil of detachment always, like the Padma Patra, like the lotus leaf has an oil on it and no water stays on it. So same way the oil of detachment we should put on ourselves. That means live a life where I'm not too dependent on others, things or beings. Be try to be happy within and do not become have too many desires. We already talked about earlier. And they say, where are the problems? In Atma or Anatma? Atma has no problems, right? Atma conscious. But where is problem? Anatma. This whole world is giving me problem. Every problem is sitting on my head and looks like God is sitting somewhere up there. And he has these packets of problem and he chooses me only to send. So we have this idea that every problem comes on my head. So problems are in anatma, right? So we said, but we have to live in this world of anatma. I cannot be in that consciousness, until I get enlightened. So they say, live in the world of anatma, but live like the lotus leaf, Padma Patra Mivambasa. Remain detached, and detachment alone is the source of how to get out of these problems. So live in the world, but live like a lotus. And then Bhagwan in the Bhagavad Gita, he says, Matras Parshastu Kaunteya. Shitoshna sukha dukha daha agama apaino nityaha anityaha tan stitikshasva bharata. O Arjuna Bharata, whenever your senses contact the sense objects, matras parshastu kaunteya, you will get heat or cold, joy and sorrow, success and failure, honor and dishonor. All these things will happen. And that is inevitable. In the world, you are not always going to have joy. You will have joy and sorrow mixed. Same way you have success, failure, heat, cold, health, ill health. But remember, their agama apaina, all sorrows which have come will go away. And all joys which have come will also go away. So one should be ready. You should not say only. I should only have joys, not have sorrows. That's what Swami Vivekananda says. It's like saying there will only be day, should never be night. No, day is followed by night, so joy will be followed by sorrow. Tan titikshasva bharata. One is you understand that what jo aaya hai wo jayega, whatever has come will go. And secondly, titiksha. Titiksha means the ability to withstand problem. So understand that, okay, it's very hot, then it will become very cold. It's fine. If it's cold, you wear a sweater. If it's hot, put on air conditioning. And if you can't, don't complain. Because in life, these things will happen. So live a life without complaint. And that is titiksha, forbearance. Bhagwan says that is a way. And that is also in the, what do you call, shama dama uparati titiksha, shraddha samadhan. In one of the sadhan, shat sampatti, titiksha is very important. That have forbearance without complaint, bear the life's, ill health. Do not get overexcited when things are good, and do not get over depressed when things are bad, but see as everything is transitory. In this impermanent world, the only permanent thing is Bhagwan. Anything else that I depend on, whether it's my spouse, my child, my money, my house, my security system, alarm, everything is gives you temporary security, temporary happiness. If you want permanent happiness, seek it in Bhagwan, see it in the Lord. And who is this Bhagwan? Nishkalam. He is absolute truth without any parts, without any defects. And that Brahman, that God, I seek in my meditation. In the meditation, the great rishis and mahatmas experience the presence. So you and I also should meditate every morning. If you are not meditating, please meditate every morning. If you would like, if you, some of you may say may not know how to meditate, I do have a video. We can send it to you, and you can watch it. So if you send me a message, and so the technique of meditation, we have what, why, when, where, how. And there are some guided meditations on first power. So people should meditate every day. And I'll end with a very beautiful quotation from Tulsi Ramayan. Goswami Tulsidas ji says in Ramcharit Manas, Mukur Malin Aru Nayana Vihina Rama Roop Dekhat Kini Dina. So he says that, Mukura Malin. So, like if you want to see your form in the mirror, you stand in front of the mirror. And if the mirror is dirty, Mukura Malin, Aru Nayana Vihina, or your eyes are not good, your vision is not good. So, either if the mirror is dirty or your vision is not clear, you won't see your form. Even though you are standing right in front of the mirror, you won't see, your image. So same way, even though Bhagwan is right with us, but why are we not able to see Bhagwan, know Bhagwan, experience? See means not physically, but know Bhagwan is because our mind is the mirror which is dirty. There is a song, Tera Man Darpan Kehlaye, Bhale Bure Sare Karmo Ko Dekhe Aur Dikhaye. So there is a very famous old song in Hindi films. It says your mind is like a mirror which tells you what is right, what is wrong, what is good, what is bad. Mind means mind and intellect, both. So when they say Mukur Malina means our mind and intellect is dirty. How is it dirty? We have seen so many impurities. We have raga, dvesha, kama, krodha, moha, matsarya, mada. Kam, krodh, mad, moha, lobha, matsarya. So all these impurities we have, desire, anger, greed, jealousy, dambha, pretending to be somebody I am not, and dishonesty, cheating, all those things are there. So it is like our wisdom is covered by ignorance. So what does meditation do? So Gurudev says meditation will not reveal Bhagwan. Meditation will clean the dirt, will clean the veil, and Bhagwan, who is always there, will reveal. So Mukura Malin. So one is our mind is dirty, mind and intellect, and Nayana Vihina, and not having eyes means I don't have the right knowledge. So if my mind is impure, is dirty, and my knowledge is not clear, Rama Rupa Dekhat Kimi Dina. These people are unfortunate who, even though Ram is with us at all times, we are not able to experience God's presence because our mind is full of impurities and our vision is not clear, our understanding, knowledge is not clear, the intellect. So you need a pure mind. So purity of mind and clarity of knowledge. That's what Tulsidas ji is saying, that only then you will be able to know the presence of Bhagwan. So we'll end here. So it is that the truth alone prevails, not untruth. And by truth, the path of realization is like a wide open highway. And the rishis who have no desires have gone there. And you and I can also follow. If they have gone, we can also go. In the seventh mantra, Brahman is vast, he is infinite, cannot be thought of. He is the consciousness that illumines everything, and subtler than the subtlest, nearer than the nearest, and further than the furthest. And where the wise people find him? In their own heart. Find that. Him, not him or her, but Brahman is that, tam. And again, eyes cannot see it, speech cannot describe it, senses cannot know it. Even tapas and karma yoga cannot reach it. They say, well, then you first told us do karma yoga and do tapas, and now you're saying don't do it. So they are saying these are preparatory sadhanas, as we said, the four kind of sadhanas. So karmas, tapas, rituals, all these prayers, all these purify the mind and make the knowledge clear, and then the truth reveals itself. So it does not mean that if I'm doing some sadhana, I should stop doing it. Oh, sadhana will not take me. Tapas will not take me. I was doing some puja, some rituals. Oh, rituals will not take me. Why should I? No. All of those preparatory sadhanas are necessary for the truth. So that is why they are in the first three portions of the Vedas, and only the fourth portion the rishis have given us, the Upanishads. That means having done karma, having done upasana, having done all those chanting
Shravana.
mantras and all, shravana and manana, then the Upanishad reveals this knowledge to us. So that is what this by the jnana, by the jnana prasada, and so by clarity of knowledge and purity of mind. So we'll end here. Very, very practical mantras. I hope I was able to make it clear. And this is something we can all start practicing. So it's very helpful, I think. So we have a few minutes. We have about 7 minutes. Any questions, any comments?
I think
Anybody would like to add anything or?
where you said that that it cannot be known by the sense organs, mind cannot know it, and all that sense organs cannot, because it is subtlest. That's why the subtle cannot be known by the grosser. So that principle, if we remember, then it is being the subtlest. Nothing can know it. It just knows itself. So that one should. I think that
Very true.
point is very
Yeah, it
important.
knows
It
it.
struck me, so I thought that.
Right. Very good. Thank you. Yeah, it knows itself. Brahman can only know itself. So I have to become Brahman. So they say knowing Brahman is becoming Brahman. Means I have to own up to the fact that my true
Yes.
nature is Brahman. That is who I really am. Kusum, you have a comment?
I like the idea about this truth. Just said the truth is the goal and truth is the path. So for us, I think if we live our life daily, truthfulness in our daily life, then only we can help. Otherwise, just listening, saying, oh, truth is the path, truth is the goal, nothing is going to happen. So our daily life must be truthful, must be abiding in that every single day, whatever we do. That means by whatever we think, whatever we do, it should be in a line to one thing,
Arjuna.
not saying something and thinking something. That will never work out. That's not truth. So I think that struck me a lot, and I think that has also Guruji had and Gurudev had put it in our head. Satyam is the truth that will reach you somewhere. And I like the other part of Gurudev's thing is the third last paragraph in the last shloka we did, how the Eastern and Western philosophy is so different.
Right.
He mentions it so beautifully, and we see it because we live in the Western world, but we still have the Eastern ideas, and we see how that is so different. He's beautifully explained, so just read it. It's just struck me. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, I think the Western philosophers say we are born of sin, and the Eastern philosophers say we are born of the rishis. So that is the difference. So that we have the potential. There they say, oh, we are all sinners. Only God can
Save
save us. The rishis tell us, no, you are Brahman. You just do not know that. So that is the difference. One is pessimistic, one is optimistic. Thank you. Yeah. Gurudev has spent all two
two
paragraphs
paragraphs.
on that. So yeah, please read that. Yeah. And also talking about the Gurudev also mentions that you buy the paint and brush, but you don't sit down and paint. What is the use? So same way, you get this knowledge, but you don't practice it, then it's no use. Yeah, Lata, go ahead, please.
You mentioned the four sadhanas and they are sequential. Can you repeat the names of those again,
Yeah,
please? Right.
parampara-gat sadhana, that is karma yoga, upasana, and pranayama, and all that.
Right.
Parampara, that's traditional.
It is given in Sadhana Panchakam. The book, little book called Sadhana Panchakam has
It's four all, but anyway,
complete detail.
yeah, sadhana panchakam. So one is traditional parampara-gat, then second is bahiranga sadhana, external sadhana, which is developing sadhan chatushtaya. Vivek, Vairagya, Shat Sampatti, Mumukshutvam. That is Bahirang. Then third is Antarang, inner, and that is Shravana, Manana, Nididhyasana. So listening, contemplating, abiding. And the fourth is called Sakshat, means direct experience, and that is through Mahavakyas. Mahavakya Updesh. So abiding in that I am Brahman, that Mahavakya Updesh. So,
And
Paramparagat, Bahirang, Antarang, and Sakshat.
that's where you say the meditation comes in the help
In
right
the
there,
fourth one, right,
the
where you
fourth
abide
one.
in that I am Brahman, Brahma. That's why all the, Brahma Tattva Masi Bhava Yatmani, we are doing on Sundays, that
Right.
Brahman you are, think, abide in that, meditate on that.
Correct, correct. And earlier you mentioned about truth. There is no ambiguity about the truth, right?
Yes.
There is no gray. It's either right or wrong.
Yeah, but it should not hurt somebody. See, that's why we said hitam, priyam, and mitam. Like I said, now that girl who is being chased by a criminal. Yeah, you can be truthful and say, okay, she's there, and then she'll get killed or raped.
Right.
So. And then second is it should be priyam. It should not hurt somebody. Like I said, somebody bought a new outfit. You can truthfully say, oh, I hate it. It looks very ugly on you. You can, that's the truth. That is absolute truth. But then, you are hurting her feelings. So you can not tell the untruth, but at least not directly insult or attack that person. And I don't know, however you can do it. But yeah, no, truth is absolute. I agree with you.
Okay.
But one of the commentaries I read, it said it should be hitam and priyam and mitam. Don't
Okay.
speak too much.
Then that the effect of that truth is a lot more probably.
Right,
Is
right,
that?
right. When you speak less, yeah,
Okay.
that's true.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for all questions. Anything else?
Yeah, this truth is very beautifully done in chapter 18 of Bhagavad Gita, where he explains these three. Satyam, Hitam, Priyam. Beautifully done, that Gurudev's commentary.
Right. Thank you so much. Okay, next week we'll continue a little more about what or who is Brahman and how to reach. The Rishi keeps emphasizing that. And so we'll talk about that next week. Thank you very much. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya पूर्णमेवावशिष्यते। ओम शांति शांति शांति। हरि ओम श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः। हरि ओम।